I can't do this. I can't do this. But it's happening. I am doing this. I'm following my teammates onto the pitch. I'm watching my orange boots, brand new for the brand new season, take step after step across the short grass. I wish I could stop, spin around and run home. I can't pick out their voices from all the shouting and cheering and referees' whistles in the other matches that surround the central pitch, the pitch I play on, reserved for the best teams. But I know my parents are yelling encouragement from their usual spot, on the clubhouse veranda, with all the other parents. And Mum's voice will be the loudest of all. Even though this is only a friendly pre-season game, how can I possibly let her down again? I stumble forwards as Joseph shoves me in the shoulder. "We've got to smash this team today, Matt," he says. I fake a laugh. "Definitely," I reply. His toothy grin drops and his expression turns into a snarl beneath his floppy brown hair. Joseph's a pretty good midfielder, but we're not friends or anything. I've known him since primary school. But since we started high school last month, he's been hanging around with loads more girls and a horrible bunch who pick on everyone. As for his pickroll account, it's mainly people swearing and arguing and talking trash to anyone who doesn't agree with their opinions. He's got his reasons, but still, it's not a nice way to use social media. "Look at that massive kid," he points. "There's no way he's under 12. My eyes follow his muddy finger, even though I do not want to look, because I've already seen the boy he's talking about. But, like I always do, I swallow down what I'd prefer to do, what I want to do, and check out our opposition warming up, and the tall striker who looks like he visits the gym every day. We've played this team before, but I don't remember him from last season. He's either new or has doubled in size. His white and blue striped jersey, with a black number 9 on the back, rides up as he lurches to head the ball away. Truth is, I know I'm a better football player than him, but it's like my brain doesn't care about any of that right now, like it doesn't believe it. As a defender, it's my job to hassle the strikers, mark them tight so I can take them out the game. I know for a fact I'll end up marking him. I always go up against the toughest or the fastest players, because Stu, my coach, is convinced I can handle anything. I used to be able to, but not anymore. I can't tell anyone this. It's embarrassing. Me, player of the year for the past 2 years, my mum's pride and joy. Nope, no way, never. I tried mentioning something to Dad a few weeks ago, but Mum butted in on the conversation, telling me I'm the best, and no one will ever get past me. And to stop being so silly. My mum is all about getting on with things. It's her way. But I am being silly. There are other things, too. Other things I've noticed over the last couple of months. The way my chest tightens all the time, and my stomach dive bombs. The way I'm always forgetting what I'm in the middle of doing. The way I don't like any of the things I used to. Football, gaming, hanging with my mates. And also how tired I feel all the time. So tired. I wish I knew why. I can't figure out what's changed. "Right, sit down, boys." I startle at Stu's voice, my heart pounding a fast rhythm, faster even than before, as I realise my team have reached our bench. "Settle down, sit." I need to listen. I have to keep away from my thoughts. I perch on the edge of the wooden slats in the corner of our shelter, focusing on my clenched fists that rest on my knees and pressing my soles into the floor through my tight boots. "Right, big game today. Last friendly before the season kicks off. We need our heads out of the clouds, no more than 2 touches each." Stu rambles on with the same talk we have before every match. One I'm so familiar with, I could recite it myself. But my concentration is moving away, no matter how much I try to take in his words. The harder I try to listen, the more my brain rebels, and I'm thinking about everything and nothing all at the same time. But mostly I'm thinking about ways to get out of playing this match. The logical part of my brain tells me to toughen up, just like Mum would say. "I can't do this. I can't do this. Matt, are you listening?" I nod, concentrating on Stu's face. He frowns at me and rubs a hand over his bald head before putting on his red Whaleview Soccer Club cap. "Okay, we need world-class Matt on the pitch today. Got it? Not the Matt we've had in the last matches." My cheeks burn red hot. And I don't miss the chuckles from some of the teammates, including a weird huff growl from Joseph. I glance over at Ted, my best mate, and he gives me a nod and a thumbs up. I look away, not really sure if I smiled at him, even though I meant to, and I nod at Stu again. Got it, coach, I reply, mustering whatever confidence I can into my voice. Straighten out that head of yours and let's win this, he says. I nod again, wishing and begging the attention to move away from me. He eyeballs me for a moment longer with those sharp light blue eyes and then claps once, loud and firm, startling me again. My breath catches, but I turn it into a throat clear and then clap and chant with the rest of the Wales under-12s A squad, the unstoppable three-time champions 3 years in a row. And now it's too late. I'm going out on the pitch and I'm playing this game whether I like it or not. This moment used to be my favourite, the buzz, the adrenaline, the apprehension. I don't get why I don't feel this way now. What's changed since last year? I've failed to find a way out, and desperation's lodging in my chest. I jog over to our goal to get in position for the referee's whistle, legs feeling like they're going to give way at any second. Ted pats my shoulder as he runs past into his left-back position. You okay? He asks, jogging backwards, his black curls bouncing up and down. Yeah, cool, mate, I reply. But it's there, the shake in my voice, the empty feeling in my chest, the screaming in my head, in my ears, and the numbness of my limbs. I'm so not cool. Stu's right, I need to straighten my head out. Ted nods, and I watch his red shirt with the number 16 on the back move away. I can't do this. The whistle screeches, and I move forwards with the back line, pushing up and out of our goal mouth, light on my toes, but heavy in my gut. My breath's an effort and pressured, panic charging through me like I've never felt before, almost burning my skin. It's like my chest is going to explode and my insides will splatter on the field. Once again, Mum and Dad pop into my mind, and I swear this time I can hear Mum shrieking my name. I can't do this. I need to get off this pitch now. Their midfield has the ball. They're passing quick, one touch then pass, moving all the time, keeping my teammates working hard, calling instructions, warning each other. I vaguely register Stu bellowing my name, and I know where he wants me without having to hear his actual command, so I draw up all I have from the pit of my belly and charge towards the number 9 striker. The kid shoves his arm across me, his elbows high and hard and digging into my chest and shoulder as he tries to muscle me out of the way. He calls for the ball, but it sounds weird in my ears. I screw up my face and wince. Everything's muffled and low, like I'm underwater. My heart's going so fast, I can't even feel it, and I honestly don't think I'm breathing. The next thing I know, I'm on the ground, flat on my back, staring up at the crystal blue sky, not a cloud in sight, and I'm hot, so hot.